Welcome to the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you tonight. We pray God's blessings on our time together. This last Sunday, we celebrated our 40th anniversary here at Good Shepherd. It was great to have Pastor Burnt back, and we had a dramatic portrayal of Luther at the Diet of Worms between services. A few of those sheets with the whole script out of Luther's works are in the back if you're interested in that. Make for great personal study or discussion as well. We're going to pick up those readings that we really didn't look at all last Sunday. And the entire theme for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is forgiveness. Forgiveness. God forgives us by grace through faith. And we, in turn, forgive one another. We pray that God would bless us and that His forgiveness would abound in us and through us. A couple of words on our service tonight. Our opening hymn, hard one to sing, but a good one to sing. 611, Chief of Sinners Though I Be. Following that hymn, we'll follow the service of prayer and preaching. That's on page 260 and following. We'll use the insert from this last Sunday. Readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for the blessings You shower down upon us. We thank You for the gift of justice in this world. Justice that is often imperfect, but justice nonetheless. Heavenly Father, we are always very quick to demand justice from others. And yet at the same time, we are very slow to act in a humble and just way. Teach us tonight, once again, as if for the first time, of Your never-ending love in and through the person and work of Your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. And Heavenly Father, may that love dwell in us and abound through us today and always. In the powerful and precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. We sing hymn 611.
service of prayer and preaching, page 260, we stand. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is just to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
We sing. Prophet Micah, the 6th chapter. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. We turn to the words of our gradual as printed on your bulletin insert. We speak them together. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. For the Lord has commanded the blessing
life forevermore.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Church of God in Philippi, chapter 1. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel, from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the catechism. The Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Small Catechism, page 324. The fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, page 324. The fifth petition. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them. But we ask that he would give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly endure those
who sin. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that will serve as the basis for this evening's sermon is our Old Testament reading from Micah chapter 6. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how had it come to this? How did this happen? What had started out as pure had now come to ruin. What had started out as joy had now become heartache. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. What more could He have done for her? How much more could He have loved her? For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. Had He not saved her, Israel, His people from the land of Egypt and from the house of slavery with a mighty hand? Had He not chosen her, though she was the least of all the peoples? Had He not kept all of His promises to her? You see, God and His people Israel, they were married. God and His people Israel, they were covenanted. For in the sight of the mountains, on the side of Mount Sinai, God had made a covenant with His people. Their vows were taken. Their God had vowed that He would drive out Israel's enemies before her, that He would give her a land flowing with milk and honey, that He would bless her, defend her, and multiply her, and make her into a great nation. And there, Israel vowed that she would follow all of God's rules and statutes, and that she would serve Him alone. And had He not kept all of His promises? Had He not provided for her, defended for her, and multiplied her? Balaam the seer, he had tried to curse Israel, but instead God had caused Balaam to bless Israel. God had driven out all of Israel's enemies before her, from the east side of the Jordan to the west. God had gave His people a land flowing with milk and honey. He had defended her from her enemies, and He had greatly blessed her and multiplied her and made her into a great nation. He had been more than faithful. He had kept all of His promises. He had showed steadfast love and covenantal loyalty to His people. And yet how unfaithful His people were. She was no catch. And how blessed she was to be chosen by Him. And yet how shamefully did she treat Him. From the start, she was unfaithful, constantly whoring after images of gold and stone and wood. During the day, she would come into His presence in the temple to worship. But at night, she would defile herself and lay with the stone images of Baal and the wooden images of the Asherah. During the day, her children would play in the courts of the Lord. But at night, they would be brought to the altar of Molech and sacrificed in His name. And now, the court of mountains that had borne witness to this wonderful and joyous covenant between God and His people, these same mountains are made to bear witness against Israel. Israel has been brought into the courts of the Lord and is now made to plead her case. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against His people, and He will contend with Israel. What can Israel say? What can Israel offer for her sin? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Israel, her nakedness has been uncovered, her shame has been exposed. She has tried to hide her sin, but now she has been brought before the Lord, to whom no sin is hidden. She has been dragged into court, the law has been read, and the sentence pronounced. She has been caught in adultery, and the law is very clear. The punishment for adultery is death. And it is in this moment, as the mountains bear witness against her, as the mountains cry out for justice, and as the mountains raise their very stones against her, that she cries out in desperation and despair, in anger and in shame. What can I give? What can I offer God for the sin of my soul? What can you offer God for the sin of your soul, O you, His people? What gods of this world have you whored after? What sins have you tried to hide from God? Hear you now what the Lord says, O you, His people. The Lord, He has seen your sin, and it is great. He has seen your wooden gods of paper green and your stone idols of minted silver. You serve Him with your mouth, but He sees your heart. And He sees that every intention and inclination of your heart is only evil continually. He has seen your transgression, and He has an indictment against you, O you, His people. His anger is hotly kindled against you. For indeed, the mountains and all of creation bear witness against you this day, against you and against the sin of your soul. And what can we give? What can we give for the sin of our soul? For were we not brought forth in iniquity, and did not our mothers conceive us in sin? What can we offer God that is not already His? For He created the heavens and the earth, and all that dwell within them. With what shall we satisfy Him? Will He be satisfied with calves or rams, or with rivers of oil? Will even our firstborn son satisfy the mountains which cry for justice? Would even our firstborn son satisfy the law's demands? Yet hear you today. Hear you, O you, His people. Hear what is good. For He has told you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? What is good? The Lord our God, who is merciful and gracious, He does not require of Israel a sacrifice for her sin. He does not require from you a sacrifice for your sin. For what can we offer Him? For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. It is impossible for even the death of our firstborns to take away sin. God is not pleased with us such a sacrifice. Abraham offered up his firstborn son, Isaac, to God. Yet God did not desire such a sacrifice. He was not pleased with such a sacrifice. You see, God did not desire the sacrifice of the firstborn of Israel, firstborn sons of Israel for their sin. But instead, He desired the sacrifice of the firstborn son of Israel. He does not require or desire the sacrifice of our firstborn sons, but instead He desires and requires the sacrifice of His firstborn son. Therefore, as the mountains cried out for justice, and as they raised their very stones against Israel, the bridegroom of Israel did the unthinkable. Jesus, the eternally begotten and glorified Son of God, took off His glorious robe and clothed Himself with the sin-stained rags of His bride. He pushed His bride out of the way as the law's wrath from the mountains was coming down and stood in her place. Jesus, God's Son, God's only Son, God's firstborn Son, He took upon Himself our human flesh, took upon Himself our sin, and bore on the cross the punishment that our sin deserved. On the mountain of Golgotha, God the Father did something worse than raise up His hand against His Son. On the mountain of Golgotha, God the Father turned His back on Him. There, on that mountain, Jesus, as He suffered on the cross, He poured out His blood. He poured out His blood with every gash, with every wound, and with every nail. And there, He poured out His blood, literally poured out His life onto the mountains until He had no life left within Him. There, He suffered the punishment the law required of sin. There, He suffered the punishment of death. Jesus, by His sacrificial death on the cross, satisfied the law's demands. There on the mountain of Golgotha, He poured out His blood upon the mountains, and there the mountains were satisfied. Justice was done, the mountains satisfied, the law fulfilled, and God the Father was pleased. And having no one left in heaven and on earth to accuse His bride, and having finished His work, Jesus took back upon Himself that glorious robe He has always had before time began. He rose from the dead 3 days later, and now is seated at the right hand of God, where everything in heaven and on earth bow down before Him in humility. What is good? Jesus. He was the sacrifice God required for sin. Through His death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave, He has forgiven all of your sins and all of my sins once for all. So therefore, what does He require of us, of we, His people? He requires no sacrifice for sin, but instead He requires that we are to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. We now, having had our sins forgiven and the law fulfilled, love justice and do justice. From the cross, true justice was displayed. We now love the justice of His law, for the law no longer condemns us, but it gently guides us and shows us how we are to walk with God and to walk with one another. We love kindness. We love the faithfulness, the loving kindness Jesus showed for us on the cross. And we cannot but help but show that same loving kindness to one another. And most of all, we who have been made humble by Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection, walk before Him. We come here into His presence where we hear His Word that teaches us and comforts us, and where He here offers Himself. He feeds us with Himself, with His own body and blood. We, His people, we now do justice. We now love kindness. And we now humbly walk with our God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our crucified and risen Lord. Amen. We sing now our second hymn, Hymn 940, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name.
welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping and listening on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who loves us and forgives us would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. And concludes with the prayers of the church. Page 265 and following, please stand. In addition to those prayer requests that are listed in our bulletin, we rejoice and give thanks for the recovery of Joyce Thompson, who returned home today. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, especially Raleigh, Marge, Caitlin, and all those that we remember in our hearts, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For comfort, peace, hope, and even joy for all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, for the family of Jason Macklin, mourning the loss of his grandmother, for the family of Patty Stradley, mourning the loss of her mother, and all others who are mourning the loss of loved ones, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are celebrating this day, celebrating successful procedures, celebrating a successful hospital stay and a return home, Nancy and Joyce, and all others who are celebrating this day, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, hear the devout prayers of your church, especially in times of persecution, and grant that what we ask in faith, we may obtain through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray together. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body, soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We say. Mighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Closing hymn number 703. 703. Welcome in the name of Jesus. A couple of quick announcements before we dismiss. We've got choir upstairs, Bible study in the fellowship hall. Tomorrow afternoon there is no Lifelight Bible study because tomorrow at the noon hour or so is our big Thanksgiving feast for our older members in the congregation. There's still a few sign-up spots out there, a couple of things if you want to help and are able to help tomorrow. It's always a really, really big deal here in the congregation and a way to recognize and to say thanks to those who have given so much over the years in all that they do in their families and in the church. Next Wednesday evening, there's no midweek or confirmation class. We will be celebrating Thanksgiving next Wednesday and Thursday. Be two services for Thanksgiving. They'll both be basically the same. Next Wednesday evening at 6:30, next Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Not a lot of churches in Lincoln have church on Thanksgiving Day, so if you know of some that are looking for a place to go to church, help spread the word, and I don't know for sure, but I assume we'll be on the radio both Wednesday and Thursday. We'll find that out for sure before our announcements on Sunday. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for all the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. And the KNNA Radio 95.7 is having a fundraiser dance coming up, and that is on the 2nd of December. So if you'd like to come and dance, pretend that you're in the 1940s, wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, well, except for the war. Except for the war. Yeah, except for that, you know. But musically, anyway, in the 40s. And you can come for the dinner and the dance, or if you just want to come and dance, tickets are available both ways. So check that out. Great way to support the radio station and to have some, as my father-in-law used to say, some good, clean fun. Pastor, anything else? Okay. Vicar, good job tonight. Have a great day and week in the Lord.